What do you mean, your computer?
No, I think I kind of have that figured out. This recorder.
Okay.
I said, how's this work?
Oh, okay.
All right. Okay, so open to James, and I'll try to get my mind going as we roll through this. But I had a really good thought that I was going to finish James, and it didn't happen. I did. I was going through my computer, and we are officially over a year that we've been doing James. It was supposed to take 2.5 months, so but we're getting close. We're getting really close. So,
Brian.
What?
Hi, Brian.
No, ma'am. We had a lot of other things going on. Okay, so James chapter 5. So if you'll remember, and just kind of to make my mind work, and just so you, it's been a few weeks since we were in James. So James chapter, well, really all through the book of James, you know, we're doing these faith steps, things that are just very practical, apply to my life. Okay, how does that apply to me? And you guys know me. I'm all about, I need something that that I can take home. I need something for me. I'm all about reading the Bible and tell me what was happening then, but at the end of the day, when I walk out of here, I need something that, okay, how does that affect me as I go to work this week or whatever I'm doing? So the book of James is very practical. It's very, do this, maybe you should try this. All right. And so he goes through all these different things. We call them faith steps, and I think maybe next week we might just go through and review them all as we wrap up the book of James. I'm not sure how that's going to work yet, but in chapter 5, he kind of comes to a breaking point, because he's like, he's been nudging them along, like, hey, maybe you should do this or don't do that, and then finally in chapter 5, he's like, okay, I'm just going to call it what it is. You're not doing what you're supposed to be doing, and I'm tired of it. And that's pretty much where he's at. And so he just kind of like blows up, and he's calling these guys fat, and he's talking about, you know, they're just, they have everything they want, and they're taking advantage of people, and this, that, and the other. And so he finally comes to this breaking point in chapter 5, and then he kind of gets to the middle of it, and then he's finally like, okay, now exhale. Now let's wrap it up, because if I keep doing this, then you're probably not going to want me to be your pastor anymore, your leader anymore. So he's kind of wrapping it all up. So we'll start in verse 12. So that's where we're at. I'm trying to think of how I want to do this. All right, yeah, let's just read it. James chapter 5, starting in verse 12. Okay, he says, but above all things, so he's like, this is what I've talked about. He says, but here we are. Above all things, my brethren, swear not, neither by heaven, neither by earth, neither by any other oath, but let your yea be nay, yea, and your nay be nay, lest you fall into condemnation. Is any among you afflicted? Let him pray. Is any merry? Let him sing songs. Is any sick among you? Let him call the elders of the church, and let them pray over him, anointing him with the name of the Lord. And the prayer of faith shall save the sick, and the Lord shall raise him up. And if he hath committed sins, they shall be forgiven him. Confess your faults one to another. Pray for one another, that ye might be healed. The effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. Elias was a man subject to like passions as we are, and he prayed earnestly that it might not rain, and it rained not on the earth by the space of 3 years and 6 months. And he prayed again, and the heaven gave rain, and the earth brought forth her fruit. So let's pray. Father God, Lord, I love you. I thank you for the day. I thank you for this class. It's just awesome to have a class we can hang out with and laugh and have a good time. But at the same time, Lord, just be serious about your word. Lord, I just love these guys, and just their thinking of me, and the way they think of each other. And Lord, I pray that you just clear my mind, clear our minds, that we would just hear from you. Put my notes out of the way, because I really don't have anything good to say, but you do, God, and I just pray that you just speak through me. And in Christ's name, amen. All right, so as I'm reading through this, I know what you guys are thinking, because I'm like you. You're like, how in the world does this have anything to do with me? Yay be yay, nay be nay. What's he talking about? It's not raining for 3.5 years. How is he going to make this apply to me? Well, we're going to get there, because there's three really good things. So if you're taking notes, which if you are, that's great. I usually don't, but if you're taking notes, here's your title: three key reminders to remember. Right, two R's. Right. Because if you'll remember last week, we're going to review that here in a minute. I couldn't get my head to work on the alliteration. So three key reminders to remember, because you really need to remember these things. We're wrapping up James, and he's like, okay, I've already talked about all three of these things, but we're going to hit them one more time because you need to get this. Okay? So three key reminders to remember. So back up a couple weeks, we were in here, and as we were wrapping up, you'll remember that trusting in earthly riches is what? It's bad. All right? It's bad. And then patiently waiting for God's reward is good, right? Because that's all I had. My mind wasn't working, but. And so basically he was just laying out that you got to wait on God, because a lot of times you want to take things in your own hand. You want to get mad. You want to yell. You want to scream. You want to just do things your way. And in the end, that never works. But if you wait and you do things on God's timing, even though that's really hard to do sometimes, and just personal note, God really worked me through this after one thing. If you pray for patience, God's like, yes, I was just waiting for you to ask. He'll give you chances to exercise. So anyway, you got to wait on God's timing. And sometimes that's not fun. And sometimes it's like, well, I'm being wronged, or this doesn't work out right, or this isn't how I had planned. Well, guess what? I don't remember how I worded it, but... just because God's plans aren't your plans don't mean that they're not God's plans. You know, that's what He wants to do, and you're going to roll with it one way or another. It's kind of like with your kids. You're like, no, this is the way it's going to be. And they're like, no, I don't want it to be. Well, in the end, what happens? That's usually the way it is. So you can either do it in obedience, or you can do it kicking and screaming, one or the other. Okay, so that was kind of last week. So here's what you're going to get today. Here's what you need to know as you walk out of here. Every Christian should keep these three key reminders to remember, or faith steps, because that's what we've been calling them up until now. I just had to come up with something different today. In the front of their minds every day, if they're going to have a sober walk with Christ. And think about that. When you think about your walk with Christ, what do you want it to be? You could come up with 100 different words. But sober is what came to mind this morning. And to have a sober walk with Christ, that's kind of like, it's down to earth. It's doing what He wants you to do. It's just being what God wants you to be. And that's what I want to be. That's what I want our class to be. I love having a good time. I love to laugh. I love to mess around. You guys know me. I thought the five candles was perfect, because that's about how old I act sometimes. I want to be down to earth, and I want to be exactly what Christ wants me to be. And that's what a sober person is. So... you got to keep these things in the front of your mind every day if you're going to have a sober walk with Christ. Okay, so we read it. So here we go. Here's the first one. The first reminder to remember, number one. Your tongue will always reveal who you truly are. Your tongue will always reveal who you truly are. Let's read verse 12 again. If you remember, I tied verse 12 into the end of last week. And then as I was getting into this, I was like, I didn't do near enough here. So we're going to do it again. He says, but above all things... my brethren, swear not, neither by heaven, neither by earth, neither by any other oath, but your yea be yea, and your nay, nay, lest you fall into combination. It's like, what's he talking about? So, I have a question. What's the best way to get to know somebody? You're going to have to talk to me. What's the best way to get to know somebody?
Talk to them. Duh.
Anything else?
You ask them.
Right. You want to get to know somebody, you got to get to know them, right? You got to talk to them. The best way to get to know somebody and what they're really about, you got to talk to them. You got to have a conversation with them, right? You can read books about somebody. You can anything else.
Google them.
You can Google them.
I Google you all the time.
You Google me?
No.
I really hope not, because I don't even know what you would come up with.
Stuff,
it's probably true.
I actually found you on an English church over there where you're preaching on Google.
Really?
Yeah. I was looking at some Harlan stuff, and he came up. Jason came up and all this.
Oh, my. I'm sorry. Who knows what I was talking about? I was probably talking in some weird accent trying to fit in.
You know, that does sound like you.
Easy.
You can't just Facebook stalk somebody to get to know them?
Oh, yeah. No,
you can.
Everyone.
Oh, you know, you can, right?
Yeah, that's true.
Right.
That's what everyone does.
That's what everyone does?
Oh, yeah.
All right, so their tongue is the best way... that's going to reveal who they truly are, right? You can fake your way. What do they say? Fake it till you make it, right? And you can do that, but eventually your true colors are going to come out. That's just the way it is. Think about a blind date. You ever been on a blind date? That's actually how I met my wife, but we were in high school, so it doesn't really count. But yeah, you ever been on a blind date, right? You can hear... you can hear all the right things about a person, but until you actually sit down with them, you're not going to know who they really are. You know, your buddy can talk up his girlfriend's friend all day long about how great she is and how perfect she is. And the more he talks her up, the more you're thinking she's probably really not that good. Because he wouldn't have to talk her up that much, right? Until you actually sit down with this person, you're not gonna know anything about them except for what you've heard. And you can put on a front all day long, right? A person can say all the right things for a while, but in the end, you know what's going to happen? Their tongue's going to reveal who they truly are. It might take 10 minutes. It might take a day, a week. Sometimes it takes years. But eventually, it's going to come out who you truly are. That's just the way it is. That's what James is talking about in verse 12. He says above all things. So he doesn't say, hey, add this to the list of things I talked about. He's like, hey, in case you did miss everything we're going to talk about, this is the one you need to get. Of everything else that I've said so far, I know we've talked about a lot of things, and we've seen a lot of different faith steps, but the most important here, the way you need to remember, is your tongue is a revealer of your heart. And you might be like, well, I don't talk that much. Okay, well, when you do, your tongue is a revealer of your heart. You agree with that? Or am I just blowing smoke? I mean, you agree with that? You can say all the right things to your wife. You can do all the right things. But eventually, when you're hacked off and you're mad, your tongue's usually a revealer of your heart. Or at work or anything else, right? That's just the way it is. That's the way it works. MacArthur said it this way. A person's speech provides the most revealing glimpse of a person's spiritual condition. I'm like, well, wait a minute. We were talking about my wife, not my spiritual life. No, really. A person's speech provides the most revealing glimpse of a person's spiritual condition. You can be around somebody that proclaims Christ for sometimes just minutes and know real quick where they're at with Christ. I mean, you just can. That's just part of it. You know, I get around guys at work and I'm like, man. And then you can just tell by being around somebody for not very long and the way that they talk and the things that they say what kind of person they are. And it's not that we're judging people, but you can tell where their spiritual condition is, right? What he's saying is that a person can clean up and act the right way for a while, but in the end, their tongue's going to tell on them. No pun intended, right? Their tongue is going to tell on them. That's just the way it is. James has tried at least once in every chapter to get his point across about this. And finally here in chapter 5, he says, I guess you're not picking up what I'm throwing down. He said, you're not getting what I'm saying. So we need to go about this a different angle. So here's the deal. The most important thing I've said. I mean, do you understand that? This is the most important thing that I've said. Do you get that? This is, you've got to get this. He's like, I know we've talked about it and here and there and we hinted at it, but you have to get this. That's what he's saying. In James 1:26, he says, if any among you seem to be religious and bridleth not his tongue, but deceiveth his own heart, this man's religion is vain. Chapter 1, one of the first things he talks about, got to get your tongue in check. James 2, verse 12, he says, so speak ye and so do, and they that shall be judged by the law of liberty. Right? He's like, hey, you got to watch what you're saying. You get into James chapter 3 and like the whole chapter. We spent like 3 weeks on this, right? He says, for many things we offend all. If any man offend not in word, the same as a perfect man. He's like, hey, if you can get this tongue thing in check, you're perfect. But you can't, so you're not perfect. So he says, but able to bridle the whole body. Excuse me. Behold, we put bits in horses' mouths that they may obey us and turn about their whole body. Behold, also the ships, which they be so great, are driven about with fierce winds, if they are turned about with such a very small helm, whithersoever the governor listeth. Even so, the tongue is a little member and boasteth great things. Behold, how great a matter a little fire kindleth, and the tongue is a fire, a world of iniquity. So is the tongue among our members, that it defileth the whole body, instead of defile the courts of nature, and is set on fire of hell. He's like, hey, all those other things that you're doing wrong, it all starts with the way that you can't keep your mouth shut. You know, and that's what's getting you into all these things. He says, for every kind of beast and of birds and serpents and the things of the sea is tamed and hath been tamed of mankind, but the tongue can no man tame, is unruly evil, full of deadly poison. Therewith bless we God, even the Father, and therewith we curse men, and are made among the similitude of God. Out of the same mouth proceedeth blessing and cursing, my brethren, these things ought not be so, or ought not so to be. Doth a fountain send forth at the same place sweet water and bitter? He's like, hey, you got to get this tongue thing figured out. And you know what? I'm just going to call it like it is, because I know you guys. We spent like 3 weeks on that, and we didn't get it. And I didn't get it. right? We heard it and it was like, that's a good word, but we didn't get it. Why is it that we can't get it? Why is it that we hear it and we know it and we know we're supposed to do it, but it's like, man, why can't we get it? Why can't we understand? Every chapter, James 4:11, he says, speak not evil one of another. That means probably shouldn't be gossiping. Probably shouldn't be murmuring. Probably shouldn't be disputing. Or any of those other things. Speak not evil one of another, brethren. He that speaketh evil of his brother and judgeth his brother speaketh evil of the law and judgeth the law. But if thou judge the law, thou art not a doer of the law, but a judge. Right? Throughout the entire book, James has been hitting on this, and he wants to make sure before the end that you understand the importance. He's like, above all things, get this. And I even read it, and I'm like, yeah, it's important. No, he made sure to say above all things. Above all those other things that we talked about, right? This is important. So what about you? What about you? Why should we care that James had a church full of people who couldn't keep their tongue in check? I mean, really. Why does that matter to me? Move on to something I need, Jason. Why does it have anything to do with you? Because if you look around, we're the same way, right? Just look around. You're like, no, we don't. Yeah, we do. Maybe it's disguised in Christian words, but yeah, we do. If it's not rumors, it's gossip. If it's not gossip, it's lying. If it's not lying, it's boasting. If it's not boasting, it's murmuring. If it's not murmuring, it's disputing. If it's not disputing, it's... Do we keep going? I mean, it's always something, right? It's always something. And I'm the world's worst. That's just the way it is. It's either how bad it is or how great it is. You know. That's the way it is. It's all about us, right? The point is that even today, and maybe even more so today than then, when James was writing this, we can't keep our tongue in check. We can't keep our tongue in check. That's just the way it is. I said in the introduction that these were reminders to remember if you were going to have a sober walk with Christ. So, I'm not saying that if you can't keep your tongue in check, you aren't saved. I'm not getting that. But I am saying if you're walking around murmuring, disputing, everything else, you're walking around like a drunk person. A drunk Christian whose tongue is like a cannon on the loose, right? So, when I say that, because I was using the analogy, and I'm like, well, what are drunk people like? Give me some things.
Honest.
Honest? I thought you said awesome, and I was like... We walked into the best burrito yesterday, and this guy, you could tell immediately, he had had way too much to drink, and he was telling me as I walked by to sit at the table that I should try that tequila. The tequila was good. That's what he said. I mean... And then come to find out the guy, I mean, so as I'm thinking of this,
thanks for coming when we left, too.
He was in the parking lot, yeah. I'm telling you. So this was like fresh in my mind. So what do drunk people do? Give me some things. They're honest. What else?
Loud.
They fall. They're loud.
Belligerent. Obnoxious.
Forgetful.
Very confident.
Yeah.
Perhaps soberly.
Yeah. 10 feet tall and bulletproof.
Yeah,
right. They either so here's what I came up with.
Great dancers.
Or not so much.
They either say stupid things that don't make any sense. Thanks for coming. Right? You don't even work here. They either say stupid things that don't make any sense and usually aren't true in the first place, or here's the other thing, or they say everything that they've ever wanted to say and they couldn't when they were sober. They're completely honest. Right? And we're all thinking of some sort of a scenario here. I know we are, right? So what am I talking about? This is what we as Christians look like when we can't keep our tongue in check. We either say things that are completely ridiculous, so stupid, we don't know what we're talking about, or we're so brutally honest, and it's just like, well, why wouldn't you just say that in the first place? Right? That's what we are. We just pop off at the mouth. That's the way it looks like. We keep our tongue in check. And this is why this is one of the keys to remember. Because when we run around popping off of the mouth about every little thing that we think we know, God's looking down on us the same way that we look at the drunk guy at the baseball game. Right? We think the guy has no idea what he's talking about. He's making himself look like a complete fool. That's probably the thought that God's got when he's looking at you and you're just popping off about, I know this and I know that and this, that, and the other. Right? And I was thinking about this this morning. I'm like, that's the way I look at other Christians when they're popping off with a mouth. So why wouldn't God look at it that way? I'm like, you just don't know what you're talking about. Or maybe you shouldn't be talking about it. Maybe you do know what you're talking about and you should have just not said anything. Right? That's what we do. And we shouldn't be proud of it, but that's what we do. So what do we do about it? What do we do about it? Above all things. That's why James says, above all things, your tongue's going to reveal who you are. It just is. Just like a few drinks in is going to reveal who you really are, your tongue is going to reveal who you truly are. That's just the way it is. So what do we do about it? We've got to be real all the time. You know, we're putting up walls and we're trying to... Who cares? Just be you. And if it is, it is. You know, that's what we've got to be. That's what we've got to be. All right? So your tongue is a revealer of who you really are. Or something, however I worded it, right? I can't even remember. Your tongue will reveal who you truly are. Okay.
You have too much to drink this morning?
Yeah, I'm sorry.
Tequila.
<That's good. laughs> Tequila was never good, Abby. Reminder to remember number two. No matter the circumstance, we could fill this in with a lot of things, but the text says pray. No matter the circumstance, pray. 13 to 15. He says, is any among you afflicted? So he just got done really ripping these guys a new one in the beginning of the chapter. Then he like takes a deep breath and he's like, okay, we got to get back on track. We got to get our minds back on track. He's just like me. He sees something shiny and he's like, hey, look at that. And he's like, okay, I got to get back on track. What are we talking about? Okay, you got to keep your tongue in check. You know? And so then he's like, okay, so here's where we're at. He says, is any among you afflicted? Let him pray. Is any merry? Let him sing songs. Psalms, which is, they're basically prayers in singing form, right? Is any sick among you? Let him call for the elders of the church and let him pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. That doesn't mean the oil is holy, just so you know. Side note, we're not even getting into that.
Oh boy.
And the prayer of faith shall save the sick, and the Lord shall raise him up, and if he have committed sins, they shall be forgiven him, right? So, no matter the circumstance, pray. The next reminder to remember, I liked Faith Step. I thought this was clever, but it's not. I can't even say it. That James points out at the end of his book is the importance of prayer, right? And if you'll remember, he already talked about this, like at the very beginning, right? Just like the last point, this is something James has already talked about multiple times in the book, and he wants to make sure that the reader gets the point, right? Everything else he's talked about is good. But I think the fact that he's hitting a few of these things one more time, he's like, hey, don't forget this. Because this is the last time I'm going to say it to you, so don't forget this, right? It's like when we were in discipleship. Here's the way, side note. When I disciple, I don't like to just sit there and read through the book. It drives me crazy. That's just not me. So whatever the week is, you know, if it's on prayer or if it's on giving or if it's on the Holy Spirit, I basically sit down and I just basically take however long it takes to just basically say everything I know about the subject, that everything that I've learned about it in my own words, because that makes more sense to me than reading through it in a pamphlet and reading verses. And so Brady came really quick to call this a pre-speech to discipleship. That's probably what it'll be called forever now, right? But it's a pre-speech. Yeah. So, but James is the same way. He's like, I've already told you all these things, but then here's the really important things. These are the things you're going to find in the book. You know, those other things, I just gave you those for free, but these are the things you're actually going to find in the book. He wants you to really get these things. We're wrapping up the book. It's at the very end. And you might be like, I've already heard you say all this, Jason. Well, there's a reason that James wants to talk about it again. So we're hitting it again. That's just the way it is. Prayer is one of the first things James addressed in chapter 1. And now he's finishing his book with it. Maybe that's a pattern we should follow or something. Prayer at the beginning and the end. I don't know. Morning and night. I don't know. I'm just throwing that out there. Take it where you want. James 1:5, the fifth verse of the book. He says, if any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God. He didn't get very far before he talked about needing to pray. And yet here we are, four or five verses before the end of the book, and he's hitting it again. There might be a theme there, but I don't know. I'm not a Bible scholar, but I'm just saying there might be a theme there. He says, if any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God, that giveth to all men liberally, and upbraideth not, and it shall be given unto him. Not only, if you lack it, if you ask it, he says he's going to give it to you. Now, remember, it says wisdom. He doesn't say to win the lottery, and he's going to give it to you. You got to ask for the right things.
That's the only thing I want, I think the lottery, though.
You need to check what you want.
Joke.
I know. It's just random. Okay. And the last point we talked about, the best way to get to know someone is to do what? Right? What we talked about, the best way to get to know somebody is to do what, Jackson?
Talk
to them, right? Well, the same applies to getting to know God. You want to get to know God? Maybe, just maybe, you ought to talk to him. I'm just throwing that out there. Maybe, just maybe. You can read this book all day long. You can learn a lot of really good things. You don't ever take some time to talk back. Not talk back, but to talk back. It's a one-sided relationship, right? You can't have a relationship where a man and a husband and a wife, and only one of them talks all the time. Now, it's tongue-in-cheek we say that the woman talks all the time, but that's not the case, right? There has to be communication. It just has to be that way, right? There has to be. You can learn everything you want. You can hear from God all day long, and maybe you need to talk back a little bit. Maybe he wants to hear what you've got to say on some things. I've learned more about Christ, and really more about myself for that matter, in times of prayer than I ever would have reading in a book. And I really mean that. I've learned more about Christ. And you might be like, well, how did you learn more about Christ when you were talking to him? I've learned more about Christ and more about myself in times that just praying. I used to, and shame on me, but I used to have, I got an hour drive to work every day. So I used to take every day, and it was divided up 5 days a week, and I prayed for different things each day on my drive to work. And that's just how I did it. Well, I don't do that anymore. I don't know why I stopped, but I don't. I had different days. Whatever.
6 a.m.
Anyway, you learn more about yourself, about God, about what God really wants you to do in the times that you just sit down and talk to him. Because then the things that you're reading actually make sense. He's like, oh, maybe that was an answer. Maybe he's talking. Yeah, I don't know. The same applies to getting to God. You gotta pray, right? You might say, well, I don't understand what you're talking about, Jason. Learning about God and talking to him, and well, maybe you ought to pray about it.
What if I don't know how to pray?
I don't know.
Then ask
Pastor.
God.
You're supposed to answer that.
You got to pray. He's got to do it.
Why?
Don't call me the P word.
Well, we're calling it the P word.
Be discipled, Jack.
He talks about being afflicted. He says prayer's the answer. He talks about being merry. Prayer's the answer. Being sick, prayer's the answer. He talks about having unconfessed sin, prayer's the answer. You can see the point he's getting at. He's listed these things. Prayer's the answer no matter what the question is or what the circumstance is. And you might be like, yep, you're right. That is the church thing to say. You got to pray. But you don't understand. Because I know, you're like me. I have always got that. There's always a but, right? But you just, not for this circumstance, not for this. There's nothing that God can, but, no. No matter what the circumstance, no matter what the area, you got to pray about it. I've told you guys over and over again, and I still don't think you believe me. There's not a scenario that you're going through in life, relationships, kids, marriage, work, money, just whatever it is. There's not anything that you're going through in life that you're like, I just got to figure out how to do it, because there's not anything that you're going to bring to me that I can't show you in the Bible what it says to do about it. You might not like what it's got to say, but there's not anything that you're gonna tell me of a book that was written over 2,000 years ago that doesn't have the answer to what your problem is. You might not like it, but that's just the way it is. And if we're going to be held to the standard of Christian, then we just need to say, okay, that's what I'm going to go with. No matter what, we can't pick and choose and say, okay, well, I like what it's got to say about this, but, well, that was written a long time ago. It really didn't apply to... What? That doesn't even make sense. That's a really lame argument. if we're going to hold to the standard of the Bible, then we're just going to hold to the standard of the Bible and just roll with it. And it really makes it easier. Because when somebody's like, well, what do you think about this? Or what are your feelings on this? I just go with the Bible. Well, I just go with the Bible. It makes it a lot easier. I don't have to like debate in my mind whether I think it's right or wrong. I don't care. That's what God said to do. That's what I'm going to roll with. And at the end, when I stand before Christ, I'm just going to be like, hey, it was your book. I did what you told me to do. Right? It kind of gets me off the hook. I can get myself into enough trouble. It gets me off the hook, right? He says, no matter what your question is, what the circumstance is, dude, you got to pray about it. You got to pray about it. You may be like, well, I don't get answers. I don't get answers. Brady told me the same thing. We were talking about going to London. I'm like, Brady, you need to pray about it. He's like, well, how's God going to answer me? I don't know, Brady. How did God answer you? Like a dozen times, made it blatantly clear in different ways. Yeah. When you pray about it, God's going to answer you. And I know that's the Christian thing to say. When somebody says, hey, do you want to do this? I'm going to pray about it. That's the Christian way of saying, I'm not going to do that. It just is. When somebody says, hey, do you want to get in the ministry? Mitchell, I'm sorry. Hey, you want to get in the children's ministry? I'll pray about it.
That's
that means
not
no.
Yes, I know. That is not true.
No, it's not. We said no right up front. Yeah.
No, I'm just in general. That's the nice Christian way of saying I want nothing to do with that. Now, sometimes you'll get somebody legitimately wants to pray about it. I get it, but I'm just throwing it out there. I know it because I do it. I'm just telling you. I'm one of you. I know this. Prayer is the answer, no matter what. Let me ask you a question. Because James says this prayer thing is pretty stinking important, right? Over and over again, James says it's pretty stinking important. So here's my question. Is prayer really, and I'm in all seriousness, because I want to know what you really think. Is prayer really as important to our Christian faith as James is making it seem here? I got like the Indian head bob from a lot of you. If Mark was up here and Mark said, hey, is prayer really as important as James says it is? You all would be like, yes, no, something. You don't respond to me.
Because you're not me.
I respond to you because you're my uncle.
Whatever.
So I think you're pretty chill.
Okay, so here's the question.
Answer my question first.
I'm answering it with a question.
Okay.
Oh, here we go.
If God already knows everything that is to be in your life and everything that is going on in every facet of your being and of your mind, why pray?
Because he wants to be.
That's but if you
same
already,
thing.
He already knows. If
he knows.
What you're thinking,
he knows, but I have to tell you that there's been times that I've figured out things about God and about my own life in times of praying that I never would have come across.
I think prayer is intended to change you, mm-hmm. not God.
No, I agree. God's the same today, yesterday, and forever.
That too. Like, why would I ask for anything? God knows what's going to happen. He knows.
So then, like, why do you
the
pray?
The plan's in place because, first of all, it's kind of a conversation, and second of all, to change my heart about something.
Okay. So
really, it's because I feel like God's will is God's will. Mm-hmm. I feel like He could just say, "Your will, not mine."
Right. So then, right. Like, when somebody's sick or has cancer, why do you pray on behalf of them? Please heal them. Why
I have to tell you, I don't really pray that.
I pray for God's will to be done.
I don't believe God heals people physically like that. I've never seen it. I'm sure He does. I'm not a witness of it. I know the Bible says He does, but I would wrestle with that. So for me, I would be more praying, just kind of for salvation, peace. How do I help them? I know that's wrong, but...
God's
church, I'm not gonna lie.
No, God's will and God's plan are different things, right? God may think, okay, like when Brady is praying, should I go to London or not? God may have thought, I'm going to send Brady to London. But Brady could have been disobedient and said, I don't want to go, and not went. But he prayed about it, and he took God's answer for it. Right? Sometimes that's God's way of revealing His will in our lives. Right? There's different ways. So prayer is probably as important as James is saying, then. It's important. How important, I don't know, but it's pretty stinking important. There's a reason he keeps hitting it. So does it really have to happen daily for us to have a good walk with God? I mean, does prayer really have to happen daily for us to have a good walk with God?
Well, James said it has to happen in every circumstance, and probably.
Well, I mean, it's communication. Can you have a good walk with your spouse if you don't talk daily?
Sometimes it's
at least communicate.
Sometimes it's better that I don't speak. Have a good, I love you.
Okay, in general.
Chris, we're so happy that you're in our family.
All right, so here's the point. It's probably important, right? James says daily, every circumstance, right? So let me ask you another question based on that. Why aren't our prayer lives as good as we just agreed they should be? That's a really good answer.
Saying it'll make you busy or it'll make you bad.
It takes discipline. It takes diligence. And it's not something that the people around you know. It's something that's personal, it's intimate, and it's you and God. And so if you don't pray, nobody else knows. And so much of what we do is based on, well, if I don't do this, so-and-so's going to know, and I'm going to look like a fool, and I want to make sure on the outward I look good. Mm-hmm. But prayer is something that's on the inward.
Well, plus it's really hard. You don't have to do anything hard. Like, you're comfortable.
Mm-hmm.
And it's hard to sit down. Squirrels go everywhere, and they're trying to concentrate. And
oh, there you go. We don't like to put any more effort.
It's your heart has to be pure for it to be a real prayer.
That's very true.
If you're dirty and
if you're dirty at all, if you got anything going on, you talk yourself out of it.
I think that is so true.
That's more true than anything.
I can't be honest in prayer right now because of this.
I can't sleep unless I pray. So it's like God's like, bro, you're gonna suck at work tomorrow. Better pray so you can sleep. So
that's good.
How come when you start to pray, you always go sound asleep? You don't think.
Yeah, actually. See, I get about halfway through my prayer, now I'm not like a light.
Yeah.
I'm like, I forgot to pray about this.
If prayer is really one of our fundamental pillars, right? You got like these pillars you stand on in Christ that our Christian faith stands on. Then why doesn't my prayer life match up to that? And I'm just calling myself out. Why doesn't me, as your pastor, why doesn't my well, if I would have said that would have came across weird.
I'm going to get you a t-shirt that says I'm not the P word.
Okay.
But then I'm going to put on the back I really am.
JK.
Yeah, JK.
Why doesn't my life line up with it? I know I'm supposed to. It doesn't matter what book in the Bible you read, it talks about prayer. There's not one that doesn't hit on it. So why doesn't it line up with it?
I think it's pride, because when you pray, you're basically acknowledging that you're not in control and God is. And
that we suck, like Mitchell said.
Don't do anything to not acknowledge that, really. And
exactly.
I think pretty much it all just comes back to pride, really.
I don't think that I am, or that we are, because I'm assuming you're in the same boat I am. Maybe you're not. Maybe you guys are way more spiritual than me, I hope. I don't think that we're the first people in the history of Christianity that struggled with this. That's why it's in every book you read. But that doesn't make it okay. I was thinking about this morning. That doesn't make it okay. Just because you're lumped into the group with everybody else doesn't mean that your suck is better than anybody else's. I mean, you know, it's just, it doesn't make it okay. But I don't think we're the first. So here's the question. I'm like, okay, well, where does that leave us? Because I can't just leave the point at that. What do we need to do about it? When you think of a really spiritual person, what do you think about? Like, what are some attributes that come to mind?
They are calm in all situations. Doesn't matter if they got bullets flying over their head. They're just like, fam, I'm good.
Temperate.
What?
Can't understand half of what you said. See? Genius.
Right, so you, give me a couple other things. Temperate.
Kind.
Kind. Sober. That's a big one. Ooh, I like that one.
Meekness. Wait, what's that mean?
Right, and one of the things you really you usually think about when you think of someone that's really spiritual, they pray a lot, right?
Really spiritual or really godly?
Okay, I just, either way. And I mean them both in the same context. They don't mean the same thing, but...
I feel like really spiritual, they keep all that on the inside because they're not going to be boastful. And if they're godly, they're like prideful. So they like show off like...
No.
Yeah, I talk... Listen. They got Christian like word lingo. Like me, I'm the same person inside and out. Like my lingo, right? I feel like people that act godly, they got all this Christian lingo. I'm like, dude, talk normally. Like, I want to be real Christians here, not some fake person. So
here's what I was getting at.
I don't got that at all.
No, it's
the odd one out.
Usually one of the
find another class.
Usually one of the aspects of when you think of somebody that's very spiritual, godly, you know, whatever, they pray a lot. They're all those other words that you said, right? But so here's what I'm thinking. I'm starting to talk like Jackson now.
Good.
If that's what makes them different from us, then maybe we should just simply pray more, and all the other things that we think that they have that we don't will just come. If that's the only thing is that, well, they pray a lot. Well, we don't pray a lot, so maybe you should just pray more, and you'll have all those other things, right?
Brian Clark will stop mid-sentence to ask God to hold the rain off for 2.3 more hours so that we can evangelize. And then God's like, yes, son, I'd be happy to do that.
So here's some examples. We think this person's very spiritual. They have patience. Maybe you should pray for patience. You'll be more like them.
I said maybe. Is that a trick? Like, yeah. Are you trying to trick people into praying for patience? So that
you think that they have humility.
Exercises?
You think that, well, they've got way more humility than I do. Maybe you should pray for some humility. God will give it to you. Maybe they're really sober. Maybe you should pray for some soberness. And we think these people are so godly and so spiritual. Maybe you should pray for those aspects, and you'll have the same thing. You know, it says you have not because we ask not. James said that in, I think, chapter 4, right? We don't have these things because we're not asking for them. And we're not asking for them because we don't pray about them. Because we don't pray. We got to pray. And no matter what the circumstance, you got to pray. 1 Thessalonians 5:17. This is a really cool verse. It says, pray without ceasing. That's the only thing the verse says. Pray without ceasing.
What was it?
1 Thessalonians 5:17. It's a discipleship memory verse.
Yeah, sinners, you should know it.
I was just reminded.
I actually don't think it's a memory verse. I'm just throwing that out there.
I think I would remember that.
Because Courtney and I were wishing that it was. We read it. We're like, why can't that be our memory verse?
That's a good one. Yep. 1 Peter 4:7, by the end of all things is at hand, be ye therefore sober and watch in the prayer. We gotta get rolling. Luke 21:36 says, watch ye therefore and pray always. Christ said that you may be accounted worthy to escape these things that shall come to pass and shall stand before the Son of Man. The point I'm wanting us to see is that prayer is not what makes us holy. It's God that makes us holy. So you don't need to pray so you can be more holy, but you need to pray so you can be in with God. And by doing so, prayer isn't what makes God makes us holy, but we have to pray to talk to God about what we need to do to be holy, right? So it's just kind of like it's a play on words, but praying isn't going to get you there, but praying to God and asking Him what you need to change will, right? We at some point, as a class, as a church, as a American society, we got to get past the mindset that certain aspects of a person's life make them godly, like what we just talked about. Because they pray a lot, they're godly. Because they fast, they're godly. Because they read their Bible, or they go to church, or they serve in the ministry, those things make them godly. That's not the things that make them godly. But that's what our mind tells us. Well, that person's involved in a lot of things, they read their Bible every day, and they pray every day, they're spot on. Maybe not. We got to get past that mindset. It's not these things that make them godly. It's God who makes us godly. So really, there's nothing saying that you can't be just as godly as the pastor or a missionary or anybody else if you just simply pray and ask God to give you those aspects. You pray for patience and He'll give you opportunities to exercise it.
I'm so scared to pray for patience.
Just saying. It's not the action, but instead it's God. So if you simply do the action, then God will make you just like them. Right? James wants us to make sure we understand the importance of prayer has on our walk, because without prayer we have no communication. And what happens when there's no communication? Nothing gets done. Nothing gets done. When you're in war. That's right. I'll be honest with you and tell you that I don't pray as much as I should for the things that I should. So it's a reminder to me that if I want to continue to grow in Christ, that's something I got to work on. You know, and what about you? What about your prayer life? I don't know. It just came up again, and we hit it again. Where are you at? No matter the circumstance, pray. All right, we got like 7 minutes. We're going to have to roll on this last one.
Are they doing the thing?
I don't know, and Brian always runs late anyway, so.
Still talking?
Yeah.
The school just went sat down. So
okay, I'm going to hurry. They always go late, so okay.
But it's pretty.
Reminder to remember number three. Without confession, there's no repentance. Right? Without confession, there's no repentance. And don't get all up in arms about the R word, but it's true. Without confession, there's no repentance. The last point is one that I think we look over far too often in our Christianity. Right? We all know that to get saved, we have to confess our sins and repent, and Christ is going to come into our lives. Right? But why does the act of confession seemingly stop there in our Christian walk? Right? Okay, well, you confess your sins. He's faithful and just to forgive you your sins. I'm good to go. So, here we go. Because this is what I was thinking in my head this morning. Let me give you a scenario. And just tell me if this has ever maybe played out in your life or maybe somebody else's life that you know, like you or something like that. So, here's a scenario. You're going through life and you do something you shouldn't. Or you have a habit that you think you probably should quit doing. So, here's what you do. You have a pep talk with yourself, and you say to yourself, "Self, I can't keep doing this. It's wrong. It's bad for me. I got to stop." So then you decide you're going to stop doing it, whatever it is. And you say, "Okay, you need to stop doing this." Okay, that's a really good idea. And so you're like, "Okay, good talk." And you had this talk with yourself, right? It's like, "Okay, good talk. Glad we could come to an agreement," and you move on with your life. And usually what happens? Nothing changes. But you had, yeah, I got to quit doing this. And this all happens in your head. Like, maybe it doesn't happen to you, but it does to me all the time. Right? Compare that scenario with verse 16 and tell me what the difference is. So verse 16 says, "Confess your faults one to another, pray for one another that you may be healed. The effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man avails much." What's the difference?
Confess your faults one to another.
In that scenario, there was no talking to anybody but yourself, right? There was no, "Hey, you need to help hold me accountable for this," or anything else. It says that we're to confess our faults, even though it's not in our nature to do it, we've got to confess them, and then you've got some sort of accountability, right? Just because you had a pep talk with yourself doesn't change the fact that when you're tempted, you're going to go back to your old ways. James gives the reasoning why. He says, when you confess one to another, they know how to pray for you. They know how to keep you accountable. Right? 1 John 1:9, this is a memory verse. If we confess our sins, He's faithful and just to forgive us our sins, cleanse us from all unrighteousness, right? James gives the example of Elias and the power of prayer. He says, if prayer can stop rain for 3.5 years, don't you think people praying for you could maybe make it happen? Whatever it is, I'm just saying. Alright, so I know what you're thinking. I know what you're thinking because this is what I was thinking. If I was sitting where you were and somebody was telling me this, this is what I would think. You're thinking, "That's not for me. I'll take care of my own problems and issues. And if I need to, I'll talk to God about them. Because there's no need for everyone else to be all up in my business." I told you I knew what you were thinking. Right? That's what you were thinking. So here's my answer to that. First off, didn't we just see how good your prayer life was? when you say that I'll pray and ask God to help me with it? I'm not saying, I'm just saying. We just talked about our prayer life suck. So we need to work on it. So when you tell me that if I got an issue, I'll take it to God, well, you just told me you don't take it to God. So that kind of gets you off the hook there, right? No, you're probably going to do something more like the scenario we saw earlier, right? You're not going to talk to God about it. You're going to say, this is what I got to do. I got to quit doing this. Okay, I'm going to quit doing it. And then you're going to do it again. And then you're going to say, I got to quit doing this. And it's like this big cycle, right? If that's the mindset you want to have, you don't want everybody up in your business, then that's fine. But I'm going to tell you, it's not biblical. You might be like, I just don't want everybody up in my business. That's fine. It's not biblical. Right? It's not biblical. James says to confess your faults one to another. I'm not telling you what to do. I'm simply telling you what the Bible says. Don't be mad at me. I'm just telling you what it says. I know it's hard to open up in areas that we have problems in, and I'm not telling you to stand up in front of the church and confess your problems, but there has to be people to hold you accountable and to pray for you, right? I'm not saying, hey, you got to get up there, Brian, I need to say something. Hey, my name's Jason, and I don't pray enough. That's what I'm not saying. That's what we were talking about earlier.
Jason, I'm not calling.
Yeah, so it's just any of that. So it's no coincidence that one of the very last things that James reminds us is the fact that confession is key to having a great walk with God, right? Without confession, there's no repentance. And without repentance, we all know that there's no real change, right? Repentance is turning 180 degrees, going the other way. That's a change. Without confession, that doesn't happen. Not just saying that we want to change, but real change, right? These three key reminders to remember, or you know, whatever I called it, may seem like very basic things, but without them, we're lost in our Christian walk. I know they seem simple, but they need to be things that we not only do, but you need to do them well. You don't need to just pray, but you need to pray well. Right? You don't need to just confess, but you need to do it with your heart. Right? Any of those things, right? So here's what we get today. Right? 3 points. You need to confess to each other that our prayer life's not great, and that because of that we're not as close to God as we should be. And that leads to us showing who we truly are through the words that come out of our mouth, right? That's pretty much what happened. I'm confessing that I don't pray enough, and because of that, you find out who I really am through my mouth. Those are the three things that James talked about. Now, that may seem kind of dramatic, like, wow, that really boils it down to what we talked about, but they really are key to remember as you walk out of here today, because having a good prayer life is really where God wants you to be. And being able to confess and tell people, or at least somebody, have somebody that you can go to so they can pray for you. You know, that's what he's telling you, you gotta have. And knowing how to mind your tongue and not pop off at the mouth and not be able to keep your mouth shut and murmur and dispute and argue and all of those things, there's a reason he hit all those things again, right? Alright, so let's pray. We need to get and we'll get out of here. Father God, Lord, I love you, Lord. I thank you for the day. I thank you for this class. Lord, I just pray for them as they walk out of here this week, that they have a great week, Lord. Lord, I just pray for Brad and Annie and the church plant going to Henry County, Lord. I really pray for Travis and Jessica, Lord. They're not even here today, Lord, but Lord, they were just awesome to have in Passpoint, and I'm personally going to miss them a lot, and just, you know, what they brought to the class. And Lord, I pray that you would just bless them, that there would be just a church built on your word in Henry County, Lord, in Clinton, and that we as a class could be a part of that in any way that we can. And God, I pray that you just use us this week, send us out as lights in a dark world, Lord, and that we would just be glorifying to you. Bring us back next week, Lord. I pray this all in Christ's name. Amen.
Amen.
All right. So.